We are back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, our Friday show with Director Dennis Butler from the Riley County Police Department joining us in studio today, and we're so pleased to have him here. We've been talking about a few different things here, and might just alert people, we were talking about it during the break. There is an open house coming up next week, actually on Wednesday, June 30th, for the firearms range just south of town. And I think this is a good opportunity for the public to come out and see the new facility.
Yes, it's on June 30th from 9 to 11 a.m. At 1256 Tabor Valley Road. It's right next to the Zinedale Township. So if someone goes down Zinedale Road and turns on Tabor Valley, they'll see a sign on the left that says RCPD Firearms Training Facility, and that's where they would turn in. So we thought it was very important after the 10-year odyssey that has gone on trying to find a permanent home for the firearms range to invite members of the public to come out and see it and see what their tax dollars have funded. I just saw it on Wednesday. It's a very good facility. It's very professional. It's a facility that I believe, based on my experience, could easily provide great service for the next 50 or 60 years, probably longer if it's well-maintained.
Right. And this is a project that's been a long time coming here. I know I think the lease ran out last year, if I remember right.
Yes.
Talk about the importance of having this facility, having a permanent home here in the Manhattan area.
Well, one of the things that is important about it is it's a modern facility that meets contemporary police training standards. We call it the Range House, which is an actual metal building, has a classroom in it. As part of the training, at least annually, the officers have a refresher on use of force, not only the policies of the Riley County Police Department, but what state law requires and also case law. So having a classroom there to perform that retraining, that refresher retraining, and then going out on the firing line to practice what was just instructed is very important. The lead issue is something that with new ranges is a big deal when it comes to meeting OSHA requirements. And so this firearms range was constructed by someone who actually does that. That's all they do. They have built federal firearms facilities around the country, including for the FBI. So they've met all of the standards that we would need to make sure it remains a safe facility. But just having a permanent location, again, this has been going on for some time, long before I came here. I'm very happy that this has finally concluded. And it wouldn't have happened without the support of the Riley County Commission and others who have helped make this happen.
Will other agencies be able to utilize the space too?
If they're in a joint training exercise with us, yes. But the facility, and this was basically a set of covenants that were agreed upon with the neighboring landowners, is that it would not be a range that would be loaned out to others. If any firearms training goes on there, we have to be there. We have to have a range master on site overseeing it for safety reasons and other reasons. So the plan is not, and that's the agreement again with the residents out there, it's not a public facility where anybody can go and use it. It's a police training facility, it's owned by the county, but operated by the Riley County Police Department. So we will train some with other police departments because that's what we do anyway when we have to respond to mutual aid or request mutual aid. So it's important that we've had a previous opportunity to work together so we can work safely when we have to in a real situation.
All right. That's just another aspect of training there, too, getting officers trained with their firearms. And that's probably something that happens on an annual basis, I would imagine.
At least once a year, often more than that. We also have a tactical team that goes out and uses the range monthly, sometimes more than once, to set up scenario-based exercises. When people come out to see it on Wednesday, what they'll notice is there's two different sections to the firearms range. One, where we have what we call standard position turning targets, And this is the state course that they have to fire to qualify to be certified. And then on the other side is something where we set up tactical scenarios where we can drive cars down there and you'd use a car for cover. You'd have other things moving and other options that are more realistic if you were out on the street in a real situation.
Okay. I'm guessing you could probably bring the Bearcat out there and do some training.
You know, I haven't talked to my staff to see if that's coming out on Wednesday, but yes, as far as regular training with the tactical team, that's correct.
Okay. Very good. You know, speaking with Director Butler here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, again, that open house next Wednesday, 9 to 11, 1256 Tabor Valley Road is where the new firearms, I guess, new maybe not be the right term, redeveloped.
New location.
New location, okay.
Yes.
For the firearm range. A lot of other things going on here in the month of June, and I thought maybe we'd discuss, it is Pride Month, and I know you have some LGBTQ liaisons that work in the police department and assist those in the community who are in the LGBTQ community.
Yes, we started this program in 2019. Just like anybody who is a member of our community, whether it's somebody working here, going to school, living here, I had received information more than once that members of the LGBTQ plus community felt like there were barriers and trust issues with the police department. I think that's a very common issue around the country, and I felt like it was important to establish this program because no matter who you are, like I mentioned earlier, we're your police department, and we want people to feel comfortable reporting crimes to us, whether they're a victim or a witness, or just having normal interactions with us. And the liaison program was set up to have a couple of points of contact so you didn't have to call some unknown person that you didn't have a relationship with if you had a concern. And these liaisons also help provide some of our training I mentioned earlier to all of our employees, not just police officers in the police department, about some issues they may be unfamiliar with, some sensitivities and other things to help when they do interact with someone from that community to make it a more effective encounter and where that trust does get built. In fact, we're even adding a couple of alternate liaisons to the program. We think there's going to be enough work to do in this area that we'll have a couple of primary liaisons but also have some alternates to assist.
That's a great work that they're doing, and I know that, you know, another probably one aspect of that is, you know, we're learning more about people using different pronouns, and so when you write up a report and using the correct pronoun to describe somebody who has an interaction with somebody, that's probably maybe just one tiny aspect of some of the work they're doing.
It's just one example of trying to educate our employees about issues like that, yes.
All right. Well, and, you know, we've got some great officers helping out with that, Rachel Payton, and I always struggle saying is Luke.
Lieutenant Luke Bro. Yes, he's going to be transitioning out of the liaison program, and we have another person that we think we've identified to replace him, and then again a couple of more alternates that we're adding new as well.
All right. Just wanted to highlight that program because it's one of many that you list here on your website. I don't know if everybody takes time to look on the police department website of all the different programs and services, but that's a good one to highlight, especially here being Pride Month. And like I said, there's a bunch of them here. You have volunteer programs. People take part in that. I imagine stuff's starting to get going again here, too, as we get out of COVID.
We were our volunteer program was struggling a little bit when I came here, and we've worked hard to try to breathe some new life into that. And we do have three people that have expressed interest. We have one that has been working with us regularly, although there was a hiatus during COVID. We did not want him coming in and potentially being exposed to COVID or bringing it into the building. So he's just back working with us, and we're trying to build with him as kind of our core volunteer. You did mention the website, and I want to acknowledge something. When folks go to our website, it is not very user-friendly, and we're aware of that. And we've been trying to develop a strategy on how to make it more streamlined and easier to find things. So what I would suggest if somebody is interested in an issue is when they hit the landing page to go to the search box and type in a word or a phrase, and they'll get some results from that. It's much easier to find many things on our website. There's a ton of really good information on there. It's just not very easy to find sometimes.
Yeah. And there's stuff on crime prevention, citizen services, the charitable causes. You do stuff with Special Olympics and Cops and Kids. And, you know, it's a lot of great programming offers there. And, you know, we see the Torch Run is held. That was recently, if I remember right.
You know, I got to be honest. Yeah, it was. But because of COVID, the normal dates for everything has just been blown up for a year. And
right.
We're trying to squeeze things in when we can. So I've kind of lost track on what the schedule of that is. Typically, that would be sometime in June.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes sense. If you said June, we might be back on track now with that.
Yeah. Everything is screwed up with scheduling right now. We have a caller on the phone line, so let's get to them next. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. The sun is always shining at Canman except today, but you have a great guest. Quick question for him, not trying to sharpshoot, but a few years back it was suggested that maybe they do random drug testing on your officers, and that possibility fell someplace. Do you have any intention to enact something like that?
Actually, that is a program that we currently have. It was in place when I was appointed as director, and it involves all of our employees, not just police officers.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for the call. You know, one of the programs I know that maybe the public would take part in more often would be the ride-alongs. Is that happening yet?
We're just starting to open that back up. Yes, the ride-along program is something that is available to citizens. They would go online and fill out a request to do that, and then we'd try to schedule it. Because it just depends on when they want to go and for how long, when we're training officers or engaged in other activities. Sometimes we can't get as many people out as we would like. It really just provides a glimpse into the daily life of a police officer, and we're happy to provide that. It's really difficult, though, to come away with a full grasp of all the things an officer does in the course of a day or a week. I might have mentioned this to you before. We had an intern that worked for us last year. She was graduated from K-State. And when she left, she told us she intended to apply to be a police officer, which surprised me because I hadn't heard her talk about that before. And she spent about 3 months working weekly with several different members of our department. And I don't know what her perceptions of policing were, what she thought the profession was like, or what the people were like, but she told me when she was leaving that she was so impressed with what she saw that she wanted to be part of that. And she applied, got hired, graduated from the academy, and she's in field training right now. And the point of me telling you that is I wish I could bottle her three-month experience and somehow share that in a way people could understand it in a shorter period of time. And I think people would have a deeper appreciation for the work that they do, and we'd have less challenges in recruiting new officers.
Yeah, you need about 50 more people like her.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hear that too. You know, as you know, we're trying to reach more diverse pools of applicants as well. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of people are being discouraged from considering law enforcement right now. But I think if they came and spent some time with us and saw how we train and how we interact with the public and treat each other within the agency, they'd come away with a very positive impression.
Yeah, diverse is such a key term there because I think folks would interact with the police department if they felt more comfortable with someone who looks just like them and not just, you know, a bunch of white people or something.
Yeah, that's a common characteristic, or that's a common thought that is shared with me. And there's a lot of truth to that. And we should do our best to try to reflect the demographics of the community. I do like to point out that based on, you know, the population here is majority Caucasian, and the next largest group is Latino, or Hispanic. A lot of people don't know that. They think it's African-American, but then African-American, Asian, Pacific Islanders come next. So it is something that is constantly on my mind since the day I got here, and we're working on strategies as we speak to try to improve it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take our third and final break here on In Focus. We'll come back and talk some other safety tips, and including 4th of July safety tips. We'll do that next here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.